Well, my name is Evan. I'm one of the ministers here. And today we are looking at Bible studies.
Giving you outlines so you can follow along, pens so you can take notes as well, especially for guys on Zoom. We should have put the link to the notes. Josh, would you be able to put the link quickly in the chat? We'll put in the link to these to the seminar notes so you can follow along as well. And Trent and I are very keen to share with you our vision for how Bible studies can do amazing things for us individually and as a church. I hope that we can challenge you to expand your view of what we do when we meet midweek. And perhaps maybe we need to start thinking about whether we keep calling them Bible studies. Maybe we need a different name because it doesn't quite capture what we're trying to do. But why? What we're doing might work. Why are we trying to change this? Because Bible studies, not the Sunday service, should be our main go-to for encouragement, pastoral care, fellowship, and evangelism. I'll say it again. Our Bible studies, and not the Sunday service, should be our main go-to for encouragement, pastoral care, fellowship, and evangelism. Well, I hope you're encouraged. Intrigued. I hope you're challenged. Let me show you how we're going to make it work. And because this is more a lecture than seminar, please write down some notes if it helps you follow along. And there's a section for questions at the back. If you have a question, just hold it. We will have a time for questions at the end. And the passage we've read is Hebrews 10, 19 and 25. And there are two parts to it. There's a drawing near to God. And when the author writes this, notice it's always in the third person. It's we, it's us, because we do it together. We do it as a body of Christ. We do it as a people. And because we can draw near to God, because of the saving love that we have been shown, we can come together as well to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess and spur each other on to love and good deeds. Now, by no means is this saying we can only do this in Bible studies, but this captures why we do Bible studies and what we want to do in our Bible studies. Together, we're asking three questions you can see on your outline. We're asking, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? And how are we going to make it happen? And within those questions, there'll be other things as well. I've got the slides, so we'll be able to stay up. And once again, if you have questions, I'm very keen to hear, and Trent and I are both very keen to hear and answer them. So note them down, especially on Zoom as well. Don't feel like you can't ask questions. We'll put you on the audio after so we can hear if you have any questions as well. Let's pray, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we pray, thank you that we can meet as your people. We pray, thank you that we're more than a club. We pray, thank you that we're more than just friends, but we have been united in the death and resurrection of your Son. Please help us to unite together in common goals so that our midweek groups would do wonderful things for you in your name and for us as we walk together. Amen. So firstly, what are we doing? We are small groups. Our small groups are our hub. They're our central place we go. We desire these groups to become close friends, facilitated by quality time spent together and running the Christian race together. Our groups are comprised of Christian and non-Christian people, and sometimes we might shuffle them around so that you can expand the amount of people that you know closely within the church. For me, my first hub was the Archer Bible study when I first became a Christian at Gaimia. We met in a cramped little house, about 10 to 15 of us. We were probably on the verge of splitting and becoming two different groups. But the quality time that we spent together and the running the race together kept me going. It kept me coming to the Bible study, and it kept me going as a Christian as well. I want you I hope you have similar things that you can reflect on, similar experiences through your life going to Bible study. If not, come with us in this journey so we can build them together. 1B, what do we do in small groups? Well, we fellowshipping together. It's a really awesome word. I love it. And it brings back, if we look at this passage here. Well, oh, sorry, Josh, do you mind selecting that again for me? Wonderful, thank you. There we go. Fellowshipping brings together the holding together of the faith, the holding onto it, as well as the spurring on to love and good deeds. This is one of those words that has so much packed into it, you kind of can't, well, in English it sounds a bit silly, fellowshipping, but that's what we want to do together. We enjoy spending time together, and in the full sense that Trent used a few weeks ago, we are welcoming each other. If we have troubles with someone else in the group, our reaction is to skirt around, but we resolve those tensions. We resolve those issues. We pray with each other and for each other. We confess and support each other through sin, and we challenge each other when we need it. We live the gospel out together and create gospel-shaped communities. Trent and I would love you to feel free to spend more time just being together and building the relationships within your Bible studies, rather than feeling like the sole reason you're meeting there, or just feeling pressure to only read the Word. But, point 1C, the main reason, or rather the bringing us together, is the Word. We meet around the Word, seeking to learn and grow together, carefully watching our life and doctrine in a full sense of 1 Timothy. And we're seeking to show the gospel to other people that we invite. Reading the Word is one of the integral parts of our time together in Bible studies, but it's not the most essential part. The way that our Bible studies can function to show this is we read the Word, but then fellowshipping goes hand in hand. So we read it and we put it into practice. We show it. If we don't, then we're like the person in James 1, aren't we? We see our faces in the mirror and then we forget who we are. We forget what we look like when we look away. So fellowshipping and Bible reading need to go hand in hand together. And so that's the what, very broad what. Hopefully there's a couple of things that haven't been quite filled in yet. We'll get them filled in as we go. Why are we doing this? And firstly, tradition, which is not an argument that I usually go to, but on your outline and on the screen as well, there's a passage from Acts 2, which I want to draw your attention to, and I'm going to read it for us. And this is referring to the early church in Acts, people who became Christians from Peter's speech. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. And this is what we're moving towards as a church together. This idea of house churches in the New Testament. In your outline, there's a couple of passages where house churches are referred to, and they're always referred to as encouraging, as exciting, as growing, rather than merely a group of people who meet up to read scripture. This type of group has a very strong history in the New Testament and through the Reformation, as people live together in these gospel-shaped communities, living out the gospel together. And these kind of groups, they benefit the Christians within them, but they also provide a very strong evangelistic platform which displays a living, breathing example of a gospel-shaped community. And this is very similar to the vision that I was a part of at St. George North. We didn't call them Bible studies. We called them gospel teams, bit cringy, but the emphasis of the gospel team was to fellowship together around the word. So we spend time together and we look at the word together. But the attitude that came with that, the conversations that we had, the time that we spent together was so gospel driven that it was actually, it was odd if a group didn't grow throughout the year. It was odd if every single group didn't grow. Our second why, 2B, is our experience. And this is where I want you to reflect on the best experiences in Bible study you've had. I hope you can think of some. But those memories might not be the carefully crafted studies which the leader put together. They might not be the intricately woven series and how they all worked together or how they worked with the sermons. But what I remember, and I think it's what you might remember as well, is forming relationships within the small group setting, right? Having fun together, sharing meals together, telling stories, praying for each other, hearing how someone's week was hard. These are the kind of experiences that we want to see more of. Growing up, when I became a Christian, you know, I didn't have a Christian family. I didn't grow up in a Christian household. But my Christian family was the Bible study at the Archer's place. And, you know, sometimes with memories, you can associate sounds, and I can associate walking into the Archer's place with warmth. And there was always a little bit of dessert and not enough chairs, so people sat on the floor. Lots of big and lots of small conversations. But those are the memories that I remember, building relationships, sharing time with people, and living the gospel out with other Christians. The third why is that these kind of Bible studies fit where we're going as a church. We are a growing church. It's a very exciting time to be in our church. And so we need to adopt a growth mindset. We need to think about where we want to be rather than where we are now. And the reality is that at the rate that we're growing, Trent and I can't keep up with all of you as much as we want to. So we need help, and Bible studies facilitate that help. In order to grow in an effective and healthy way, we need to change the way we think about our Bible studies. If they become hubs, they become places where everyone feels cared for, everyone feels welcomed, everyone feels encouraged and challenged in their Christian walk. And once a group becomes too big, we start another one. It's also a great space for mentoring. So small groups mean big business for our growing church. And they're only limited by what we think they can do. Not only that, but our Bible studies are vital training grounds for this generation of leading and the next one to come. Now, unfortunately, we have a bit of a thinking in our Anglican churches that if we slap people on a roster, that'll somehow magically train them to be a leader in the future, which of course is not the case. Bible studies are the vital training grounds for our leaders, where they can be mentored. They can have a crack, get it wrong, get it right. And Bible studies are the tried and tested grounds for when we need these things to develop our leaders. And with extra groups, with all the extra groups we'll be starting, we'll need more leaders, won't we? Flipping the outline over. Finally, this kind of Bible study fits our desires. Reflecting back on the first talk in this series, if we are zealous for God's word, then this kind of Bible study fits where we want to be. Small groups are a big part in our desire to mature and share the gospel. If we are serious about living true life, if we are serious about being zealous for God and His word, if we are serious about welcoming in the full sense of that word, then we may have to change the way we meet midweek. And together, adopt a growth mindset, thinking of where we want to be as a church, and our Bible studies will follow. Now, all these things are great, but how are we going to do it? How are we going to make it work? And what does it look like for each and every one of us on the ground? So let's talk about how. Actually, before we talk about how, does anyone need to get up and do a stretch? I've been yawning for a little bit. All right, okay. How? All right, firstly, fellowship. So we read with each other and we look after each other. Our Bible studies, first and foremost, facilitate fellowship and Christian friendship. This is the interesting point. When I became a Christian, the guy who led me to Christ, when he became a Christian, oh, now we're going back, was during the early 90s where divorce was becoming a bit more mainstream. And so the idea of the family became less and less nuclear as people divorced and families split. And so he didn't like the idea of saying, well, we meet together as a Christian family, because everyone's family was breaking. And so his little thing for quite a while was Christian friendship. Because you choose your friends, don't you? Your friends are who you want to spend time with. Your friends share similar likes and dislikes to you, don't they? And so for us to make these Bible studies work, we need to be more than Christian family, because family can be estranged, can't we? We need to be friends in the gospel. And that's what spurring one another on to love and good deeds looks like, or this is rather. We spend time with each other and we walk with each other. Some nights we might play a game before we do the study. Other nights we might watch a movie together. Some nights we might spend more time getting to know each other or hearing about one particular person's testimony. Here's the real kicker. I would like you to be a part of a Bible study that you never get tired of going to, which you always feel that you have energy to go to, and you always know that you're going to be cared. That's our vision and that's our dream for our church. Every night having intentional conversations with each other. You know, what are you reading? What are you praying about? What's encouraged you this week? And what's got you down? Each time we meet, spending time praying with and for each other. Practically on the ground, I think personally we think that this is best done in gender groups. So the guys might split off from the girls and so people can be appropriately cared for. But it doesn't stop there. Our Bible studies also facilitate the people who you can meet up with and read one-to-one within this context, which we've commissioned this week. But Trent's going to talk a bit more about that next week. Another little point, we eat together. I love food. You love food. We all know. All right. And in the Bible, food features quite prominently, right? Food features whenever Christians meet. Paul said that the Lord's Supper wasn't just for Sundays once a month, but for whenever Christians meet together. Because food does wonderful things. It brings people together. It breaks down barriers. It offers more ways for us to serve each other. And it's a great way to help someone feel welcome. When I walk into a building and there's food, I feel better. Right? Now, a banquet's not going to work for every group. 100%, that's right. But bringing something to share or the leaders supplying something can significantly change the vibe of how a group feels. For the young adult study, Maddie and I, we committed to making a meal every week for the young adults that we could all share before having the study. We asked them to give $5 back so it could be sustainable. But I tell you what, those meals that we had were awesome. Because Maddie's cooking is amazing. Nah. But also because as newcomers to the church, that was vital for us to learn names and to get to know the people who we were running alongside. And I'm so thankful for those. Food, yeah, it's not essential to our studies. But my goodness, it works. It's very, very good. In the future, Trent and I are dreaming of a way that perhaps we could all meet together and have food together before going off into our Bible studies. It's a bit of a pipe dream, but this is how, you know, food actually can be really central to our gospel plans. Okay, second how, leadership. We submit to the leadership of Bible study leaders who are pastorally responsible for us. And again, whilst Trent and I have oversight, we can't look after everyone the way that we want to, the way that, well, it's not physically possible for us. And so that's why we carefully and choose and train our Bible study leaders who then go on to train other Bible study leaders. Our Bible study leaders are models in faith and models in maturity. They'll report to us and pass on the big issues to us. And of course, if you feel like you need to skip your Bible study leader to have a pastoral conversation with us, you certainly can. But if we can involve your Bible study leader, if it's possible, in a solution, then we will, as training for them, but as growth for all of us together. And I remember back at the Archers, after every study, the boys, about, you know, seven of us, would cram into a small office. And we'd share big and small prayer points. We had open conversations, encouragement, questions, correcting, praying, and we grew so much for it because we were willing to be cared for within our Bible studies. We were willing to be open, but understand that with that openness came love and came speaking the truth in love. The third how, word. Yeah. We read together, but the focus is the Bible and what it has to say to us. We're determined to grow ourselves and grow those around us by coming to the word. And one thing which is amazing to continue reflecting on, particularly for those of us who are leaders, is that God always works whenever we talk about his word. Because sometimes as leaders, we might not feel like we have much left when we come to write the study, do we? When we come to lead on the day or at the night, we might feel like we're all spent. But God always works, which is awesome. Another little point there. It's not on the slide, unfortunately, but in your outline. Okay, cool. Sorry, I did get it wrong. This one here is really important. Your presence is encouraging. Just being there is encouraging, all right? Just being there. Because it lifts everyone else around you. And especially from a leader's perspective, having you there is super encouraging. There was one guy who used to come to Maddie and I's gospel team at St. George. He didn't say much. He really spoke only when prompted. But man, it was encouraging having him there. We knew how busy he was. We knew the mental battles that he was going through every day. But just by being there was a big lift to every one of us. The final how, evangelism. And this is where I think our Bible studies are really underrated. Our Bible studies serve as an opportunity for people outside our group to experience hospitality and love. Our Bible studies should be places where we want to bring people, places where we know they will meet other people who love the same thing as we do. But we know they will be welcomed and loved, and we know they will experience the gospel in an intimate way, which doesn't always happen at the Sunday church or is hard to execute at Sunday church. A Bible study is a place where our non-Christian friends and family can come and experience the gospel firsthand, read it for themselves, but then live amongst it and take and, you know, eat it, chat with it, experience it firsthand. Without the anxiety that comes with walking in through those doors on Sunday. Because this, unfortunately, this building is scary. Unfortunately, we're a bit scary as well. You know, I think somewhere along the way, Satan convinced us that Bible studies can't be evangelistic. I think that somewhere along the way, we were deceived into thinking that coming together as a small community isn't attractive or isn't inviting for people who don't go to church. But of course, what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 2? That the wisdom of God looks like foolishness to man. And so who are we to doubt what God can do through us? So not only can we use our Bible studies as a place to invite people in, but as a central hub for encouragement and zeal as we go out into the world. I know who you're praying for, you know who I'm praying for, and we're going to keep each other accountable as we go and speak to these people. And we're going to rejoice together in the victories that we might have, or in the not quite victories, or in the not yet victories. We're going to support and love and encourage each other as we walk together and as we seek to proclaim the wonderful truths that we have received. This is our vision for our Bible studies. And we are super excited to partner with you in this. We are super, super keen. And there are some words that I said earlier, which I want to finish on, which are huge for me. And I hope that they're big for you as well. We want you to go to a Bible study which you are never tired of, which you always feel you have energy for. You know you're going to be cared for. I'm thinking about this point. You know that someone else can walk in and hear the gospel and experience it. That gets me so excited. This is the direction we're going in. And let's pray that God will use us to go beyond what we've talked about today. Let's pray.